Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum. This is for issue 65. My name is Captain Mike, and this is Kane. I want to welcome everybody here once again. Thank you guys for downloading, subscribing, checking us out. We are doing a YouTube test today, so hopefully everything works good with that one, and that might be something more. And yes, there we go. We got Kane right over here to the right of me. So how you doing, man?
How you doing, sir? What's going on? Happy Sunday.
Yes, sir. Yes, happy Sunday. And that's another great day here at our at the compound for
here. At the Captain compound.
Yeah, exactly. So how you been doing, man?
Well, probably is doing as best as anybody can be, catching up a lot of reads and trying not to go too stir crazy in the house. Practicing some stuff, some streaming stuff, and a lot of gaming streaming stuff. I think you were the one who turned me on to it, so I went down a rabbit hole last night. And very frustrating, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely.
Especially video parts. But yeah. Other than that, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. So ready to rock and roll this week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we do have a few things. We do, unfortunately, have to do another one of our memorial sections here. Unfortunately, we have a few that have recently passed away. So we're going to go ahead and jump into this. This is just our memorial section. First one up, actually, is a longtime WWE announcer. So I couldn't tell you how many matches I've seen with him announcing that it's just, he's been part, him and JR, I think we've been part of my childhood when it comes to announcing. Howard the Fink, Finkel, passed away just last week. He had been struggling, from my understanding of, he had a stroke last February and he'd just been like struggling through that. So looks like that's unfortunately where, what happened with him. It was just, he just passed. I think he was 69, I believe, when he passed away.
Yeah, 69 years old. It's pretty young because my dad, the Sarge, as we so eloquently call him, you know, he just turned 79 this week. So seeing somebody pass away 69, 10 years younger, it's unfortunate, man, for the family and everything else. And you're right, he was the voice of WrestleMania. Like the first thing you hear about, especially the older school days, you know, where we come from, is that voice, you know, that welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WrestleMania 2 or 3 or 5. I think one of the best ones is probably 7, which is underrated. But, yeah, definitely the voice of a generation. And, you know, I guess, you know, in wrestling terms, give him the 10 bell count, I guess you would call it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep. Let me, unfortunately, yeah, he did pass. I do know, I think the last picture I saw of him was back September last year. He was wheelchair bound, so wasn't looking too healthy then. So, but yeah. Next one we have is another one from our youth. I was not a big fan. I think I was a little bit too old for this. But the Smurfs, the voice of Brainy Smurf, actor Danny Goleman, passed away at age 80. Just nothing new on news as far as what happened. Just passed away. But, you know, famously known for being, you know, part of the Hanna-Barbera group of voice actors, and everybody knows those, but not just the Smurfs, but he also did the Partridge Family, America, Love America Style, Columbo, Chico and the Man. If nobody remembers Chico and the Man, I do.
Chico and the Man. Yeah. That's with the Elder Freddie Prinze.
Definitely a big mark, you know, in our lives growing up. For sure.
Yeah, he was a big one. Especially the being very... did he do anything else besides Brainy Smurf? Or was he just in that Hanna-Barbera collection?
He was in the Hanna-Barbera group. Those are the shows that showed up predominantly. That Girl, Room 222, but like I said, Partridge Family. And so, but yeah, definitely a staple of the 80s childhood, for sure. Just right there with Finkel as well. And then, of course, the last that I have, I know there was not to say that we're passing anybody up, guys, but there are a lot of passings that happened last week. But I think we're picking the ones that kind of fall into our genre and our age group. But also Brian Dennehy, star of Cocoon, First Blood. God, I mean, you probably could name a few 80s movies and just off the top.
He was in Ratatouille as well. He played the evil chef. I think it was a Django. I think it was his name.
Yeah, had small roles in Kojak, Dallas, Dynasty. I mean, just he's been all around. Tommy Boy probably is the best one for anybody, you know.
Oh, that's right. Younger. The older Tommy Callahan.
Yeah, that's right.
Callahan Auto Parts. And Yeah, and I recently he was on the Blacklist, a show that I've been telling you about for a while. He had a big role on that. Yeah. So,
oh, no, I've watched Blacklist. I watched Blacklist from the beginning.
Yeah, he was really good in it. I mean, yeah. Like I said, he had a major role in it. So, I mean, the way they had played it, I mean, if anybody has seen it, it was to a point where they could write him off. So, unfortunately, they're going to have to write him off.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, now. And then, of course, if you know, First Blood, Rambo. I mean, if anybody's, you can't. If
Sheriff Tinsel, man. Sheriff Tinsel. I mean,
he was the mainstay or the bad guy in Rambo. So, you just can't ignore that. I mean, the one of the movies other than, you know, Rocky, but really that brought Stallone into the action world definitely was that. So,
it was the Rambo franchise. And, you know, Brian Tenney, he helped him out a little bit in that one as well. I mean, if you look at it in the beginning, he wasn't really the bad guy, but I guess judging from Stallone's point, the Vietnam veteran coming into town, thing he's going to cause trouble. He's like, hey, man, I just want you to leave. That's it.
Yeah.
He just wanted them to leave. And then, things escalated from there, as they say. But rest in peace, Diane Henny, Brian Dennehy, and all thoughts and prayers go to his family right now. And to all three of them, actually.
All three of them, yeah. So we're going to do our WWE ring. Oh, maybe not.
Next time.
Technical difficulties. So next, we're going to go ahead and cover our news segment, Admissions Board. Hopefully, guys, we're just going to talk about the news, rumors, just anything that's come up. So here we go, folks.
News from Admissions Board.
I do love that sound, by the way.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and let you jump on this one. What do you got?
Well, guess what? We got our first images of a Denis Villeneuve and Dune. Dune is coming out, I believe, in November. That's still on track. Let's hope it comes out in November. Okay. Let's hope that we can all of them go to the movie theaters and see it. But you got your first images of a Timothy. Is it Timothy Chalamet? Is that how you pronounce it? Timothy Chalamet?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yes. And he is playing the role, if you saw the older Dune, the David Lynch Dune, I forgot the actor's name. He was on Twin Peaks. He's playing that role. So the first images came out. Look pretty good. I mean, it's a very, I would definitely say it's an updated style compared to like the very, I would call like the 84 Lynch Dune, like very grungy. This is more like, you know, a little bit more classic. You know, you have like the slick back suits instead of the giant, you know, shoulder pad thingies that the older Lynch Dune had. Haven't seen the sandworms yet, but I'm sure those are coming.
And yeah, I'm sure they will. I mean, we didn't just see them. We also, I mean, you got to realize, man, we saw a lot of people. We saw Isaac Hayes in some of the stills.
Mm, yeah.
You got to see Stalin Starsgard. I always mess up his name. Yeah, Zandia. She was in there. So, I mean, it wasn't just that one. I don't know if you just saw that one still, but there were several.
There's several others, but I think, you know, Shyamalan being the star of the movie. I mean, yeah, I could say that, what's his name? Not Isaac Hayes. Is it Isaac Hayes? No, Isaac Hayes is dead. Well, who are we thinking of? Star Wars. God, we've been cooped
Oscar
up too
Isaac.
Long. Oscar Isaacs. You brought Isaac Hayes back from the dead, sir.
Sorry.
But yeah, like he had that cool looking older man beard, and you got a ton of other guys you have to see. I don't think we saw Momoa. Did we see Momoa?
I don't
know. He's in this film.
Yeah, he is in the film. I don't believe we saw him. Uh-huh. But again, and then of course, you know, Dave Bautista is in this movie as well. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean,
Bautista does very well in these roles, too, especially if they're supporting roles. I mean, when he's the main headliner, he hasn't done too well. I recently saw Spy Hard. You know,
no, the Spy Kid. Or Spy
Kids.
Spy or something like that. Yeah.
Spy. It was fun.
It's what I expected it to be. I don't know what you were going in thinking it was going to be.
I'm thinking Oscar-worthy stuff. Come on, sir. Well, expectations. But, it looks really good. Like I said, you know, if you guys have never read Dune, I guess the best interpretation to say what Dune is, it's like they say it's the adult version of Star Wars. That's probably the best way I could say it. So check out the books. They're really good. They go more to detail. The 84 movie by Lynch is really good too. I like the 84 movie. I'm one of those likers of the movie.
That's the benchmark really when it comes
and to even that. There was a series on sci-fi that came many, many moons later that was really good too.
Yeah.
But so if you guys want to check out like the differences, I mean they're very different. Elementally, but check them out. They're really good, and I can't wait. But like I said, let's hope that we can see in the theater together. That's the big thing.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna. I think it'll be out by then. I don't think it's changing its release date or anything based off of that.
You know, I was looking at the release dates to stick on this point. The month of November, we pretty much should just rent the warehouse and just live there for all the movies that are coming out in November now, because they're literally all the summer movies are being pushed to that date.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to donate to the Heroes Asylum Fund,
I'm just donating my whole paycheck for you know, just there. Just take it.
Okay. Okay. No problem. What you got next, sir?
My next one actually falls under the Marvel world. Sorry. Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman. There are rumors that they're looking at pushing him out because they're wanting to bring Namor in and have Namor. And this is, I've heard this from several sources. So that's why whenever I bring up these weird rumor ones, yeah, I know. I'm
just going to stick with this face while you keep talking like
that. But they were saying that they're looking at taking Boseman out, putting Siri in as the Black Panther, and bringing Namor in as the predominantly African American superhero for Marvel in the new group. I think it's a horrible idea if it's just something that's truly being kicked around. I mean, Black Panther has made a massive mark and a massive, you know, impact in the Marvel world. I saw a lot of my coworkers all jumping to Marvel, wearing Black Panther, screaming about how great it was, and just to basically, I hate to say, just to poo-poo what they've done, and just to bring in Namor, I think is a kind of a weak way of getting around it. Yes, bring in Namor if you want. If you want to make him African-American, I think that's a bad idea. To me, Namor's always been more Asian, I guess, in the way his drawing is. Very South Pacific. You know, go more that idea. Definitely, if you want to bring Namor in, do that. But don't replace Black Panther, who, like I said, is a massive staple. I mean, especially in the Black community right now. I mean, you go anywhere, you're going to see, you know, Wakanda t-shirts and Black Panther wear, and, you know, Suri especially, because, you know, she was such a dominant force in his movie. Yeah, definitely bring her out. She should be eventually brought in to do something like that, because I know, yes, in the book she does become the Black Panther. And somebody made a comment that, oh, she pretty much was the Black Panther in the movies in the Endgame. I'm like, what? No, she stood her ground. Don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't say she was Black Panther.
No, no, no. And by the way, I'm going to give you a little insight to the Marvel Studios. Let's just say Kevin Feige walks out of the room and a couple of his execs are sitting at the table and they're just like, you know, guys, I have an idea. Let's get rid of Black Panther, throw in Namor, make him black, and then have Shiri be Black Panther. And it's like the movie's going to be called Black Panther, but have Namor be in it. That's what I'm thinking. This is a dumb idea. Yeah, like, that is just, like, literally, like, it has to be a joke. It has to be.
It was in a few different areas, so that's why I was like, let me drop this in there. Because
do you know how much money Black Panther made? I'm talking, like, domestically
in the
States.
Exactly.
It made more money than the before Endgame than Infinity War did. Domestically.
Yep.
I mean, why? Exactly. Why? Yeah. That's all I'm gonna say. Why?
Zero sense.
Oh boy. If you I mean, everybody was doing the Wakanda thing. Even at work now, we can't really shake each other's hands, so we just do the Wakanda thing every day when we go to the work. So I mean, it's mind boggling. But like you said, to jump on your point, if you want to bring Namor in, that's cool. Down the road, he's definitely identified as an Asian Pacific character, as you said before. You could bring him in, like, you know, the way you brought Black Panther in Civil War. Like, basically, I mean, he was not the main character in that movie, but he was, like, the driving force in the middle of that movie. Like, he was just a buzzsaw. You could see him. Like, he wasn't the main role. It was still Cap's movie. But if you want to do something, like, with Namor and that, like, he's a buzzsaw. He's always in there. He's always making an impact when he goes on screen. That's fine. But
I could definitely see them using Namor as also an introduction to the mutants as well. I mean,
oh, yeah. There's a lot. Atlantis hasn't been touched on except for Endgame when they talked – what's her name? Okoye was talking about, there's a earthquake under the water. Like, oh, what do you do?
Not only that, I think it was at the end of Iron Man 2 when you see Nick Fury and Tony in there, and he's like, hey, you're not good enough for this initiative. And you look at the map, you see the mark of where Atlantis is.
Exactly. Yeah.
You saw Wakanda, you saw Atlantis, you saw, you know, other areas, and, you know, a lot of people are handing over those were the mutants. And then you, of course, you know, Atlantis for Namor. And of course, I mean, you want to have Namor in there because everybody talks about the first family of Marvel being a Fantastic Four, but one of the first true characters for Marvel who started, I think he started in a timely, was Namor, him and the Human Torch, the original Human Torch, you know, the android. But that's, you want to bring, if you're going to bring somebody in, you definitely want to bring in Namor. And he is a very, you want to talk about a divisive character to touch on. I mean, he is one of those ones that he started as a villain and then became a good guy. And then he just sort of has this strange balance. He's very, everybody talks about like the Batman in Marvel. To me, he's the Batman. He's like, I'm here if you need me. And if I feel like it, I'm going to help you.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the new run of Aquaman, before Aquaman, you know, he's a big lame-ass character, like, you know, everybody thought he was, like, in the early 80s. Basically, what they did when they reconstructed, you know, Adam Curry, was they straight ripped off Namor, because Namor was more Aquaman than any Aquaman was. Like, yeah. He was the badass to see. He didn't get a damn about nobody. And this is a dude, basically, in a thong, and he had little feathers on his feet before they updated that costume.
Well, I wouldn't go thong. I don't think I saw Ashik on name. No. I definitely say Speedo. Speedo. Thong, though. I don't know what kind of name were you were looking at.
Hey, man, there's some thongs out there with names.
I'm sure there's
thongs. I'm just saying. Like,
I don't know about a name
for just thong. Conversation's sake, looked like he had a thong on there.
All right. So what you got next?
Well, I guess it's kind of confirmed that Sam Raimi, he was in a panel a couple weeks ago for some the Quibi channel, introducing some kind of weird series that I never heard of. But he was talking about
thing.
Yeah, he was talking about Doctor Strange. And so I guess just kind of confirms, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, that he's on board for Doctor Strange 2. I know you had your reservations about him, and I totally agree with a lot of your... I know. And I look at it from a different perspective, that I think he could add a lot of stuff to Doctor Strange 2 with his, you know, coming from his past. The Evil Dead obviously is the big thing that everybody's going to look at. The Spider-Man movies, of course, he's dealt with big budget films. I guess the big thing is how him and Feige are going to get along, but you have to remember, before Feige was he was basically a low level producer on a lot of these Marvel films before the MCU was created.
Yeah.
So like he was on X-Men. He was on the Spider-Man movies. He was there. Like a lot of times he was in the costume department. So the guy's been there from the ground up. He knows, and he knows about Raimi. He wouldn't bring this guy in if this guy couldn't work with him. That's my main thing.
Well, I honestly think, like you've always said, you know, in Feige we trust. I honestly think it's Feige's running the ship. He's just letting him steer it for a moment. And I think what's going to be the saving grace, yes, is his familiarity with the horror world because of the Evil Dead stuff. But also, I think with Feige there, he's not going to go too far off kilter. You know, I'm giving you a road. Drive in that road all you want. Don't you hit that? You hit the side. You're out.
It's like one of the big things we always talked about DC and their movies. They've never had that Kevin Feige type of guy to drive their truck. Basically, where Feige's like, hey, man, don't bump into that. Don't change lanes. Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
DC's like, that's
okay. That's a sore subject. So sorry.
You need somebody. Yeah, it is a sore subject. But but you're right. They need somebody to steer the ship. And I don't think he's going to go too off. I think him and Raimi are going to collaborate pretty well. And they'll probably come up with some pretty cool stuff. Like, I mean, like with a title called The Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, expect Tobey Maguire to make a cameo. He may not be Spider-Man. I'm not saying he's going to be Spider-Man.
I would expect them to show, if that's the problem, though, because they don't own the rights to that. That's not their rights.
They're Sony. Sony.
But this isn't Sony's project. This is Marvel. This is Disney. So there's that rights thing. I don't know if we'd see. I would love to see clips, kind of like very similar to what they've done in the past.
I think they could work it out. They're working together now. I think they could. I think they could pull it off. If it's for a couple clips, I think they could do it.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I honestly, I really wouldn't want to see it in clips. I would really just prefer to just see it, like in if you remember, like the first time Barry went back in time in the CW Flash, you were seeing flashes of like images from different movies. Fine with, hey, you know, wow, okay, there's Maguire, there's McCarthy, you know, we can see people. We don't need I don't need interaction with them, you know. That they did their time.
Yeah, I'm fine. Look, hey, I'm the biggest whore when it comes to like, hey, I want everything. But you know what? Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But anyway,
don't deny what you are, man. Embrace it.
But because I want everything. But no, like I was saying, I want all these things to happen. I want interaction. But if it's like a little clip here and there, like, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? Like you see like a Tobey Maguire like lifting up like a little drink. It's okay. It's him. Like, you can even get Andrew Garfield for a cameo. Who knows? But
and we know
I think this is nothing but good news.
I don't want to see it. I don't want it to. And I love him to death. I love his movies, Bruce Campbell. I think his movies are great. I guess this is a different level of movie, and I don't want to see the camp of it. You know, and that's it's a hard thing because I I'm a Campbell fan, but I just don't want to see him in here.
I think, whereas you're on the fence about Raimi doing this film, I'm on the fence with Campbell showing up. Like, part of me wants him to show up, but then the other part of me is like, well, this is not really Raimi's world.
Yeah.
He's just sort of like coming in, and to have Campbell come in there, it would kind of feel like, you know, a little off-centered.
I mean, I know. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
But it's Feige, so I'm sure they could find a way to work something out. But if he's in it, great. If he's not, then...
Well, I mean, like he was in the Spider-Man ones. He was an usher. He was the ring announcer. He was just there. He wasn't involved, but I just... Campbell comes with a certain amount of cheesiness. And I understand, like, with Burn Notice, that kind of went away as an actor. But when I think Campbell and I think Raimi and I think big movies, I go camp, you know? And again, like I said, I'm a Campbell fan. Please don't get me wrong when I say that it's because I don't like him. No, I like him. I'm a fan of Bubba Ho-Tep. All right.
Hey man, have you ever seen Maniac Cop 1 and 2?
Yeah,
he's in there as well. So
I like it. Well, like, you know, I'm a big fan of the B movies. So I just there's a time and place for those actors and for those moments to be shown. I just don't think this is them.
No, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't mind it. But if he's not in it, it's not going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of how I am right now with it. So. Let's see. What do I have next? Yeah. Raimi was one of mine. Let's see. My next one. I do know we just recently, speaking of, you know, with Howard Finkel, WWE, I know we don't really cover much wrestling, but, you know, every once in a while we do cover, you know, some of the matches, and Kane and I are fans. We do have some WWE or wrestling just in general fans out there.
We have Grant somewhere. We gotta pull him out of him. Is he still in tents? He's still in the hole. We have to get him out of the hole, man. Yeah, it's
been a while. But just recently this week, the WWE released 45 of their wrestlers and producers. And when we talk about producers, when it comes to wrestling, producers are the guys that work with the performers to say, hey, you know, yeah, you're going to do a match, but let's try to throw this in there. Let's throw that in there. Hey, this is how you want to end a match. You know, so-and-so is doing this match later. They're going to end this way. Why don't you end it a different way? They're the kind of the guys that the writers, not so much for a storyline, but the writers of the actual match. And to me, when it comes to wrestling and watching wrestling, that's the story I'm looking at, not the story that they're telling with their words, but the actual story that they're talking about in their match. But a lot of these guys were extremely surprised. Aiden English, Sarah Logan, Micah Chioda, who's a referee who's been with them.
I think he was the head referee, wasn't he not?
I don't know if he was head referee or not. Eric Rowan, Zach Ryder, No Way Jose. And I know No Way Jose I'm okay with, because that was kind of like,
okay,
he was
garbage.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You had Leo Rush, Kurt Hawkins, son of Mr. Perfect himself. EC3, who just made a return, what, 6-7 months ago? I believe. Eric Young.
What a waste.
Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, Drake Maverick, Rusev. We're no longer going to have a Rusev Day. So we just, you know, get it out of your system now. And then the big
Rusev Day.
Yeah. Big shocker is Kurt Angle. You know, he recently returned a couple of years back. You know, he became a WWE legend and was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And then probably one of my favorite wrestlers of all times. And I'm really upset because, you know, he's got kids, but Heath Slater, you know.
He's got kids, man.
He's got kids. Yeah, so, I mean, I was surprised. I mean, I understand we haven't seen a lot of these guys on television, but that doesn't mean they're not working behind the scenes, you know, doing dark matches, working with, you know, the younger talent. But I was just surprised at it. I do believe that they will return when everything gets back to normal. And I did see the rule that they were like, oh, well, it's because of we're not traveling, so we don't need as much. So we're in-house. We have producers here. We don't need as many refs. You know, obviously Mike Chioda going away. But then also the very next day after the releases, we see that WWE just did a huge, massive payout to all their stockholders as well. So I think it was a kind of a mixture, and I'm hoping some of these guys don't come back and they go to AEW.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. I mean, because a lot of these guys are being misused in WWE, like a guy like EC3, you look at EC3. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking when they brought him in. I mean, you talk about a guy that has been totally misused and mishandled is him, because the guy has the look, he's got the physique, he's got mic skills. They just never let him use it. And
I remember catching an NXT, like dark show, like not even a match. It was a dark show at a not the Performance Center here in Orlando, but actually at a rec center, not even at a school, but it was a rec center in a neighborhood, a little tiny basketball court. They set up a ring in there and they had, I want to say, 4 matches. And EC3 was when he just came back from his injury to go back to NXT. You know, and it was great just to see him, see these guys perform in such a small place. And yeah, you could see the talent with, especially with EC3.
One of the things that AEW didn't have when they started was like, I mean, they had Jericho, obviously, and Cody Rhodes, guys you knew, but to me, they didn't have like a lot of like known young talent, like just tech talent that's like on the verge of the next level. And I think with all this, like you just said, it's going to help AEW. Like Rusev, I think Zack Ryder with the right gimmick could be really good. EC3, like we just mentioned, the club is gone. I think they're going to New Japan from what I read. Probably. Luke Gallows, I mean, Brody Lee's in AEW now and he's killing it. So bring him over too in that little Dark Order stuff. I mean, there's a lot of guys there who are still young enough and they can do stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now AEW's, go ahead. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was going to say, like, if AEW is right, I mean, I know they can't sign a lot of people now because we're not in the position to have a mass group of talent come in. But
yeah, not yet.
Keep them on the radar. You could do backstage promo stuff with them and build them up until actually we can go see the matches again. There's a lot of guys that you could just build the future of AEW with that WWE just released right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can definitely do that. To me, I know a lot of my wrestling friends, they are they're all about AEW, and I think what it is kind of the same thing was with WCW when WCW first kicked out, was they were familiar faces. A lot of these guys are familiar faces. You do have some indie guys coming in, but you have your guys from TNA and you guys from WWE. But this is what you're going to see is a new flux of older faces, familiar faces. And hopefully we'll see what happens with them. You know, yes, AEW is in the same spot WWE is in right now. They're doing these empty house shows. So hopefully down the road they'll get caught up, and hopefully we'll actually see finally a competition out there again. That's the one thing that AEW was missing, I think, was I made that comment about the storylines that weren't there, and then really AEW's their big acts have a storyline. Doesn't seem like their lower acts really do, and they just need to build that up to where we'll have those, not a Monday night war anymore, maybe a Thursday night war starting instead.
Yeah, why not? I mean, like I said, this is nothing but positive news. And I think a lot of those guys are going to find jobs right away.
They're going to find work as soon as everybody gets out. You know, we all can find fresh air. People are want to go see shows. Doesn't matter what.
That's the one thing that people don't realize, and they underestimate. People think, and especially in my business that I'm in right now, in the hotel hospitality business, is that, you know, when all this is over, hopefully, you know, sooner than later, is the ability of people wanting to get back. And, you know, I keep hearing, oh, it's going to be a slow ride. To some level, it will be.
Yeah.
But to another level, people want to get out.
I think for you guys in your industry, the hotel, yes, that's going to be slow because that's more money. Mm. But people just wanting to get out and be entertained.
Go to shows, anything.
Yeah. I was even thinking about, you know, we've got a convention coming up that you and I are going to be part of. That's probably going to bump up a lot more because people just want to get out of their house and go do something, you know. And if a convention is it,
they want to see faces, man. They want to like commune. That's the big thing, is community. I mean, community with the whole Zoom thing, great. Yes, we've been communing, but like as far as like physically, yeah, it's, people underestimate that. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, it definitely will. So what do you got next, sir?
I got a rumor. It's just a rumor.
Rumor.
This is not confirmed.
I need to get a rumor button. I need to get a button that says rumor.
Rumor. Yeah, you do need to get a bundle of rumors. This is a rumor thing, and we've discussed this. This is not fact or fiction. J.J. Abrams has a deal with DC and Warner Brothers, and he's one of the projects is Justice League Dark coming to HBO Max.
You got five projects. Make sure you give the whole story.
Yeah, there are five projects.
There you go.
That he is involved in.
And
one of them so happens to be Justice League Dark. Now, is he going to be an exec? No, there's a couple others on that one.
Yeah, I think. Well, the only other two I heard were that one and Shining.
Shining. Yeah. I don't think he's going to do The Shining.
But again, he's executive producing. All he's doing is getting ideas and putting them together and sending.
Yeah, like I said, it's just rumor.
Yeah.
Now, will he be involved? I don't know. He'll be involved, like you told me.
Producer.
Yeah, producer, of course. But I don't think he's going to be a hands-on guy. Like you said, I think took a hard luck lesson to learn that. Like, I was finally agreeing with you after 20 minutes of screaming at you, but I think you're right. I think you're right. That was a long fight. But no, I think you're right. I don't think he's gonna do it. He'll just probably be an exec producer from afar, just testing stuff out. He'll get somebody to show run it. And but on as a whole itself, if Justice League Dark is coming, hey, like that's one of the big things I've been into this year is the whole horror element of DC.
So do I, but I don't want it. You're not going to like I said to you before, you're not going to like what comes out. It's not going to be the Justice League that you have cooked up in your head right now. It's not going to be Matt Ryan as Constantine. All right. You're not going to, I know that's why you really, what you're really gunning for.
Well, that I was thinking that, and I was thinking Swamp Thing too. Those are actually really the two I was thinking.
You're probably going to get Swamp Thing. You're probably going to get, you know, Boston Brand. You're definitely going to probably get a Zatanna because you're going to want that pretty face on there.
She's a given.
You're probably going to get, you know, definitely not. They're not going to go for the cut for Justice League Dark storylines because some of them are really heavy with Wonder Woman. You're not going to get that. So you're probably going to get, you know, Detective Chimp, Boston Brand, Zatanna. Probably a Swamp Thing. Hopefully if they're smart, they'll grab the Swamp Thing that we've seen on the DC streaming. But I just don't think we're going to get the things that we want out of it. I'm looking forward to it. But again, you and I know, being fans of this product, we know this is just the beginning of development. That's all this is right now. He's talking about developing five things. Which of the five catches hook first? Is all that matters right now. And just because it's Justice League Dark and Shining and whatever the other ones are, that's the only reason it's getting any traction. It's what's going to happen. And we know how long Justice League Dark has been stuck in developmental hell.
Like a while. I think Del Toro was the first one, and then it's been passed down ever since.
That's what I'm saying. Just so I everybody's like, oh, JJJJ.
That's why I said it was just a.
Yeah. Ruby. Yeah, I know. I just.
That's why I had to put the fingers up.
Ruby. I wish I was like, man, people don't talk about it, please. It's just in development. I mean, it's they're all probably sitting in a bunch of rooms, or not rooms right now. They're all probably sitting on Zoom right now, talking to each other, going, what about this idea? What about that idea? What about that one? And I bet you one of those other five is going to catch fire and go first. Because again, Justice League Dark is such a
touchy. To me, it's a touchy one, but it's also an untapped brand. Untapped full of potential.
It is.
That probably could just open the whole
problem is the world of Disney. They won't even use Justice League as a name.
No, I don't think they will. I think that's just a running title. They won't use Justice League Dark. I wouldn't even use Justice League Dark. Yeah. I would use something else.
Just tainted. I mean, just the word.
just the word Justice League Dark sounds silly. So,
but yeah, I mean, I thought it was silly when I first heard it. I was like, Justice League, what the fuck is this?
And yeah, then one of those names that it's just like out there because they couldn't think of anything else. Yeah, make it Justice League Dark.
It works, sticks, but in it, but when you actually sit down and read them, you look and see who the bigger characters are, and they are your lower level, your C level. You know, we're talking about the A characters and the B characters. Constantine's a B character. They're talking about your C level. You know, I'm talking, you know, Detective Chimp, Boston Brand. Not many people are familiar with them unless you are one of those ones that watches the DC, you know, animated universe.
Yes, sir.
And don't forget, in a couple of weeks, we got the DC the Dark.
Justice League, right. Dark. Yeah, a couple weeks. The final film of the DC animated universe.
Of this one stream. There's still a bunch of them that I think they're still working on, and there's a bunch that are all branched off. But from Doom or War, I think it was War. Ward and now there's like a series of the new 52 movies that they had, and that this is supposed to be the last one, Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. So
yeah,
apparently has nothing to do with what you guys think Apocalypse War is, if you guys know what it is.
Yeah, I guess you do. So
well, I've read it, and that's everything I've seen on this on
nothing
the thing
to do just with it, huh?
Has nothing to do
just with just a name only, like Justice League Dark, you yeah, say?
Pretty much. And it's got those characters with the rest of the Justice League in it. So speaking of DC, we've been without comic books. There have been a few comic books that have been coming out, distributed. One was going to be talked about later. But DC will start distributing printed comic books for sale starting Tuesday, April 28th. And they're stated that the place of orders with Diamond Comics, and they're just going to brush aside the first, the 8th, and the 15th. You know, those have just been canceled, but starting up, they're going to start pushing them out. Starting on the 28th, you will get Batman 89, Batman Giant number 44, number 4, Daphne Byron, The Dreaming, and Nightwing. And then after that, they start releasing them back out. Batman again, The Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, House of Whispers, continuation of the Joker and Harley, Criminal Sanity, and Your Metal Men is coming back out May 12th. So put that in your books, that they're going to start doing that. Justice League Odyssey, Lois Lane. So they are doing that. This is actually not going through. I was misquoted on that. I do apologize. It's not going through Diamond. It's going through Lunar Distributors. And they are not for us. No, we'll be getting ours from UCS Comic Distributors, okay. Florida. Yeah, because they have to break them up by state. That's what they're looking at starting up. They're going to just start pushing them out slowly. And again, you know, you've talked about it with me before. I haven't made it out to Acme, to our local comic store, but I guess, you know, they're collecting the books that do come in and then sending them out, or waiting for you guys to come in and pick them up. So talk to your local comic book store, but also again, I'll push it again. You got Comixology. They're still getting books out there. I've a couple of my books, I'm going to pull later, fall under that they came out through Comixology.
Yeah, it's a good thing. We're trying to move forward. We're going slowly. We're not putting the gas pedal just yet. Just a little bit slowly, just getting them out there. But I think it's a positive sign. Yep. Very positive sign. So
baby steps, Bob.
Baby steps.
All right. So what do you got next?
Well, I guess the big news that we haven't covered yet is San Diego Comic-Con is canceled this year. So we are not getting Comic-Con. It's kind of official. This came out this week. It's not like unexpected, but we knew it was coming. But unfortunately, we got the sad news that, you know, with all this stuff that's going on with COVID-19, and they made the right choice. Let's be honest. I mean, I know deep down in our hearts, our sweaty hearts, we wanted it to happen, some miracle. But, you know, to be safe, you know, just stop it for a year. I mean, they could do something cool, honestly. If you really wanted to this year, this would be the perfect. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to do this. But, like, basically right now, our communion and everything that we do is run through Zoom. A lot of Zoom. Like, there's a Zoom meeting every day. Zoom, yeah, I mean, shoot, I try to make Zoom meetings by myself just to entertain myself. Zoom dance party. Zoom.
Over there Zooming by yourself?
Yeah, but I'm over here Zooming by, I Zoom by myself, like, constantly. Like, doing weird dance party. I'm twitching as we speak right now. I'm just trying to keep a commune live. But I think if there was a way, some kind of technology, I'm not saying they're going to do this, but if they could somehow do like a Zoom con, I mean,
they could pull it off of YouTube. They've got the technology.
Yeah, they already could do something that.
They can just say, hey, you know what? Guess what? DC, you've got hours from this to this. Get you know, do a Zoom call with your guys to talk about something. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be as, ooh, wow, look at them on the stage, but you'll still have that. You can still have that unexpected pop up, you know, and, in the Zoom meeting. Oh, hey, you know, guess what? We've got this movie coming out. And guess who? Bam. You know, up pops a picture of, you know, that person, that actor.
And the big thing they have also, that at the Taste Technologies, they have a couple things. They have what's called a tipped link, super chats, and there's another one out there. And if they were smart enough to do this, they could set it up to a way where it looked like, hey, if somebody like donates $50 for a super chat, answer that question, it goes to COVID-19 relief fund. I mean, you can make it a positive. There's a lot of things you could do. You know, it doesn't have to be doom and gloom. We could just set it up for, like, in a way, make it positive. Like, have them out there, and being more interactive would be great. Like, answering questions, hey, what do you think about this? Instead of like the long drone out, hey, we're gonna bring this guy in the back, or this little kid in the front who does, hey, you know, where did the Green Arrow get his? I mean, no offense to the little kids, but come on, man. Like, sometimes
don't be hating because you were that little kid before.
No, I wasn't.
you would have been if your parents let you go.
That's true.
But I mean, you can do that through YouTube too. I mean, there's a couple of guys I watch. They do basically kind of like behind the scenes podcasting crap. And they do that on Saturday mornings, is they'll do a live thing, and you hop on the chat and you can sit there and chat with them as they're doing live YouTube. So, I mean, they have that ability in that feature to do it if they want it to. If not, they can do just what they normally do, say, hey, you know what, on Friday afternoon at this time, we were going to go ahead and release this trailer anyways. And then Saturday at 4, we were going to release this trailer. And then, you know, we can just go on and on, and they can still release their stuff. The movie companies and the, you know, whoever the comic books companies can still release their stuff on YouTube like they normally do, you know, and just go from there and say, hey, you know, this is what's coming now. So it's just something they are able to do.
Some, you know, some throw out there more interactive, especially at this time. I think just an idea that would help. So,
yeah,
but we'll see you guys again next year for 2021. Comic-Con. What do you got next, Captain?
Next one and my last one. Is it time to put MCU's Thor on a diet? Because PETA has suggested that Thor go vegan so he can shed his Lebowski look for Love and Thunder, because we do know, we caught rumors last week, you had mentioned it, that Thor was not coming back as Fat Thor. He was coming back as Healthy Thor, and that he was going to be, you know, back to normal, you know. So let the ladies love Thunder, right? Is that what it is? Hello, Cool J. No,
ladies love the thunder and the lightning, man. Yeah.
So there's, you know, they have that that coming out there, and of course PETA's wanting to get their two cents in, like, hey, we'll make him lose the weight because he became a vegan. I'm just like, I thought that was kind of silly. It's like, we'll make him make Chris Hemsworth go around doing Jenny Craig, you know, advertisements like Kevin.
What have we talked about a couple of weeks ago about this whole weight situation? What's going to happen? What was that? What was the conclusion we came with? The little montage, the beginning of the movie. Actually, you were the one who called this out. Like, it'll be like a little 5-minute montage, yeah. Or he's a god. He could just go like this and go, and all of a sudden, tripped. I mean, I can't, but
I think it'd be great. Rocket sitting there right next to him, yelling at him. You can't do it.
With a little headband like Mickey. Yeah. Get the chicken. Get the chicken. You can catch a chicken. You can.
You know,
I hope
that's just that's the best way of doing it. A quick little montage before whatever leads into him running into Jane Foster again, and then her falling in love, and whatever route they're going with that. But yeah, just, yes, we're gonna get the skinny or the in shape Thor again. I just thought it was funny. I was like, PETA, really? Come on now.
Yeah, just like,
come he's on. Asgardian. If nobody's met anybody that's from Scandinavia, it's meat, fish, reindeer. Yes, sir. There's my ex-wife's from Sweden, and she's not full vegetarian. I think she would classify as a vegan. But just, you know, come on. So let's not
carnivores, man. Come on.
Let's not push it.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so that is my last one for news.
Okay, I got one more news, and then I have another thing that leads into something else. But my last news one is the future of the MCU studio as far as the Avengers go is their plan is they want Spider-Man and Captain Marvel to lead the way for the next round of Avengers. I thought that was interesting. I've heard rumors about this for a couple years now that, you know, Kevin Feige said that, you know, when Captain Marvel was introduced into the MCU, that she was going to be the future of the MCU, which, you know, her movie, depending what you say about it, I mean, I thought it was okay. It's the only MCU movie that I've only seen once, and I think I only need to see it once just for continuity's sake. I think the character is okay. But, you know, going forward, I mean, first off, I don't think Spider-Man's going to be that many Avenger movies going forward because he's a Sony property. If anything, he's going to go back to Sony. So it's probably going to be Captain Marvel. It's an interesting choice. I mean, depends what they could work out. Just want to know your thoughts. I mean...
Yes, I see that. I'm not happy about it because there are some better characters I think that could go with it. But if you think about the last couple of Marvel movies and what direction they have taken, is that they're hinting at more the Kree and Skrull battles, and that draws them into going into space. Because the last time we saw Nick Fury, he was in a ship going off to space. So, you know, if anybody's have ever read any of these, you know it's going to most likely be, you know, the Kree or the Skrull
War.
Yeah, he's going to go off to. I honestly think that can get done in two movies, so I don't consider that a big movie. I think arc, because they were talking about doing smaller arcs.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that.
I'm thinking this is the first arc, and as this first arc's going along, maybe they bump into Galactus. Maybe something triggers the next big villain for the next three movies. So in a way, yes, she would be the head of Marvel or the head of the Avengers for the next 2 to 3 movies because it's just going to be the Kree and Skrull move war. Perfectly fine. They're going to have to generate themselves back here to Earth to get the mutants involved. And I do believe was it a Kree princess that Xavier was in love with?
I think she was. Yeah.
You could have that kind of connection she's here on Earth involved with this guy, and we get introduced to the mutants. And then I believe at that point, a different leader will show up for the Avengers. I think, at that point, I think again, like I said earlier, probably good Namor would probably be good at this. Goodness, like, you know, whoever they draw in, I mean, because
they could do Black Panther as a leader of the Avengers. To be honest.
You could, but again, you've got to talk again with Fantastic Four. I mean, there was another rumor that we didn't really touch on. Was even John Krasinski's mentioned that, hey, I've had talks with Marvel. And I've then again, I've heard the kicking around that they would prefer a younger actor, but I don't think for Reed Richards, you want younger.
No. I think we've tried the younger actor route with Reed Richards, haven't we?
Yeah, we already did. You want a, and John's not old. So, you know, he's in his 30s, maybe late 30s, but he looks young. He definitely looks younger than his age. I think he could pull it off. I mean, you're going to want to have Reed to have some gray hair. So give him a little salt and pepper. You know, it all works for us. Yeah. and just go, you know, go that route, and maybe he could be that one. I think that was the reason why I didn't want to bring up John Krasinski, because I heard the rumor of the story that they were telling. That this, you want a good one? You want a good rumor? I need to get
ahead. Why not? We're all about rumors.
I heard this that it was that we're going to run into him after they have bought the Avengers Tower.
The Baxter Building.
The Baxter, yeah. He buys the Baxter, you know, turns it into the Baxter Building, but it's the old Avengers Tower. And that him and Sue have already been together for a while. They're already established. And she's pregnant with their son, with Franklin. But the rumor is supposed to be this is how they introduced Namor, because she got knocked up by Namor by an extramarital affair. And that's how they bring it together. I'm like, oh, because that was part of the Bozeman article I read, was they were talking about that's how they would bring Namor in as a
getting very soap opery.
Yeah, when I read that, I was like, you had me to the point of that they were already established, that she was pregnant with Franklin. I was so on board with that, and then you throw in the fact
don't throw in
Namor being knocking her up. I'm like, oh,
come on, man, don't do that. And that's one of those ones.
They could go with that idea that you had for the newer X-Men stories, is because right now it's Franklin's battling whether he wants to be, you know, a mutant, or he is a mutant, but he's battling whether he wants to be with the family or to go to Krakoa. They could honestly do that where, hey, you know what, when he is born a mutant, and Charles pops up and says, hey, you know, we're mutants and I know your son is, you know, and that could be a good way of introducing the X-Men and the mutants.
I think if you know what Feige's doing, what they've done in the past with the X-Men, I think I'm going to say, put a gun in my head, which version of the X-Men they're going to use. And by the way, I have started reading this new version that you've been reading. Very good, by the way. We're like really good. I think it's so good. This is the version they're going to use in the MCU going forward.
I think it's too new.
I'm telling you, like the way they structured it, I mean, with the whole Krakoa thing, I don't think they'll do that. Yeah. But as far as like the X-Men, the way they are now, like, you don't want to have Xavier being an old man. Maybe you could put him like that big fishbowl in his head. You don't want, like, you know, Eric Lyncher being from like concentration camps. The way they redid that, those stories, I think that's what they're going to use going forward.
Yeah. My biggest irk is if you're going to do mutants now, you kind of already bit yourself in the ass. You've never talked about them before. Like nobody in the world knows about these mutants yet. And also, bam, there's thousands of them.
I guess WandaVision and Doctor Strange, I guess, are the two tentpoles.
That'll be where they get those connected.
Yeah, it's going to get them connected.
So, all right, well, let's go ahead and get out of the admissions ward. All right, so I'm just going to do a quick rundown of you guys. I know I talked about it last week, and I'm really excited about it. I wasn't able to do my episode this week. I've been usually doing a Clone Wars watch-along, kind of like a breakdown of what's been going on. But guys, I have got to tell you, if you have not caught on to Clone Wars yet, you need to do it now. These last four episodes are broken down just like a movie. We started with the Clone Wars movie. We're ending basically with another Clone Wars movie. And this basically runs tandem with Revenge of the Sith. The beginning of this, the very first episode we see Ahsoka, we see Anakin, and we see Obi-Wan all together. They're deciding what they need to do. They get a call from Coruscant that says the Chancellor, it's under attack. Coruscant's under attack. General Grievous is there. They say that, you know, that the Chancellor is being watched by a Jedi, but we lost contact, and Obi-Wan and Yoda have to leave. Bam. So we see them. We see that final moment between Ahsoka and Anakin. We see Anakin giving her lightsabers back, and they have to go off. And we see that Rex and half of the 501st stays with Ahsoka, and the rest go off with Anakin, and that leads them away to go to Revenge of the Sith, and then this leaves Ahsoka for the Siege of Mandalore to happen at the same time. Now,
so this is the last time Anakin and Ahsoka.
Last time, yeah, until Rebels, until she sees them in Rebels.
Is there anything like?
There's quite a few moments.
Hidden innuendos, I guess, I would say.
You have to listen to the music.
Okay.
Music, you especially of all people love the soundtracks of things. The soundtracks that they play are very, very poignant. You hear Yoda's theme, the Master's theme, where there's a moment between Ahsoka and Obi-Wan.
Now you're going to make me cry. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch this.
There was some pretty tough emotional moments here, especially when you see Rex now as a commander. Now you understand, okay, that's how he became a commander. Now you know why he went off. We do know commander, he's already removed his chip, so we know he's not part of this Order 66. You literally watch, you see the moments, some of the Jedi that died in the Revenge of the Sith, you actually see them leave for their missions.
Oh, wow.
You see them landing on these planets, and you're just like, oh, you know what's coming. You can see it all.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's
great. This is just one of four, and it's just going to lead. Honestly, guys, if I would say to watch the beginning of this season, because it's been very good, like very, very well written. But then this leads into, like I said, exactly into Revenge of the Sith. Now, you would mention, you asked last week, and I was kind of, unsure about it. Mm-hmm. But yes, this is hints of the Mandalorian, but what we see in the Mandalorian is not the siege of Mandalore. We see like the fall of when the Emperor when the Empire attacks the planet of Mandalore. That's what you see in the Mandalorian. So we're not going to see that moment. What we're going to see is the siege of Mandalore, where the Mandalorians kick out Maul and he loses his power. A little bit after that is when the Battle of Mandalore, the fall that we see in the Mandalorian happens. So that's one of the, I was like, wait a second. Okay. This is a siege. And then this other one will happen later. And because that one's done by, because there's no droids in this moment. This is literally people against people in the Siege of Mandalore. So that's why I was like, no, okay. There won't be any battle droids.
Roger, roger.
But yeah, actually, yeah, there's one scene actually how you, you have the Roger Roger for the droids, but then you have the sir, yes sir, from the clone troopers. There's a scene where they're all the clone troopers are all hanging out, and they're like, hey, we're gonna do this, and all you hear is sir, yes sir. Like they were just like, we don't want to do this, but yeah, we're here with you.
Aww.
So, but yeah, no, it's definitely one to watch. Disney Plus, it's really good one. I'm thinking what I'm gonna do is I'm not gonna do a watch along for this one. I think I'm going to do it as a movie watch along to all of them, because they're pretty much all connected. And
oh, if you want to do one, I might pop in one for them.
I think I might. Yeah, we might do that one. So,
okay.
So that's my only little nugget. And of course, guys, DC Universe. I'm getting them confused again. Harley Quinn has come back out for season two. So make sure you guys check it out. It's just as good as season one was.
It's
a third episode now.
Catwoman's there. Catwoman
is awesome. OG
Birds of Prey. Real Birds of Prey, not what we're in the theater.
If you're kind of questionable on your love of Catwoman, this is a perfect thing for her. It's a good did you get a chance to watch that one?
Yeah, I did. I like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. One of my favorite shows going on TV. Keeps my sanity.
I've always said it before. That is Harley Quinn. That is the Harley Quinn.
That's the Harley Quinn I want. Yeah. I mean, Margot Robbie does a great job, but that's Harley.
He does, but this is it.
Oh yeah. That's, to me, that's the prototype. Even what's her name? Tara Strong. Did she do the voice of Harley Quinn? Was it Tara Strong or just somebody else?
On what?
Animated series?
I believe that was her. Yeah, I think that was her song.
Okay. She did a good job too, but this is the more fleshed out Harley that I like. This is the Harley that's on her own. So
definitive Harley. So what do you got? You got any
I got one extra? More nugget. It's actually for you gamers out there. There's many, but Spider-Man 2 coming out 2021. No date, but it is coming out next year. It'll probably be released on launch with the new PS5, which will be coming out hopefully. All things go correctly at the end of this year. which is a perfect launch for it. I think I've talked about that with some other games. It's going to be, I think the new Batman game will probably be released with the release of PS5. But there were some details, and there were some descriptions of shots. If you didn't play the first Spider-Man game, I'm going to spoil a lot of stuff. So turn away, turn off the volume.
When you say the first Spider-Man game, what do you mean?
First Spider-Man game for PS4.
Like PS4. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it came out.
I have not played that one.
It came out like 2018.
It looks so fun. Oh, it looks so much fun.
It's really good. It's probably one of the best open world superhero games they've ever made. And that's me playing Arkham Knight. Arkham Knight was an open world game, but this is a really open world game. The side missions and everything. But like I said, spoilers if you haven't played this. Aunt May dies. Okay? Aunt May dies. This part two apparently takes place the beginning. Is MJ and Peter living together. If you didn't see the spoilers at the end of part one, Harry Osborn was in a container as Oscorp was creating their form of the symbiote. Symbiote is going to be a big thing going forward in part two. That's one of the things I read in the excerpts. Symbiote will be in it. Eddie Brock is going to be in it. It won't be the Eddie Brock version that we got in the movie that's still skinny. No, we're getting the big, muscular Eddie Brock. He's going to be in there. The symbiote basically is not going to come from space. It's come from Oscorp. It's basically going to heal Harry, and it's going to go straight to Peter. And then it's going to go straight to Eddie, and then you're going to have Venom. The black suit was shown. It looks apparently straight out of the comics. Doesn't look like the Raimi one where it was basically a black over the red and white one. It's basically the full with the white spider, black on black. It apparently looks really good. There's like a tons of new side missions. Mysterio's in it. I guess Bruce Campbell's a voice of Mysterio, which I think is fantastic.
Is that that's where that rumor came from.
One of the things. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was wondering because I had heard the rumor that, you know, if Campbell does come in, that he should do Mysterio in the multiverse of madness. And I'm like, why are they bringing Mysterio? That makes no sense. Now that answered that question. All right.
Yeah. So apparently he's in it. This is all these excerpts were taking place during a Zoom meeting. Go figure it out, because they're talking about strategy for next year. They talked about weather elements. There's going to be a lot of rain, a lot of snow in New York City. The first game, you got to see Avengers Tower and a lot of mentions of the Marvel heroes. Well, apparently in this game, instead of mentions, you're going to actually see them.
Oh, nice.
You're going to see Spider-Man interact with a lot of these. I don't think they didn't say Avengers, but they said like low level Marvel characters, like apparently Daredevil. He's going to go to Hell's Kitchen for like a side mission there. He'll go like a side mission with the Punisher. Just like a lot of side missions with a lot of characters. So the side missions in this game will feature a lot of the Marvel characters, which actually is pretty cool. Avengers were not confirmed. Nothing about the Avengers. I don't know what's going on. Probably would coincide with the Avengers game coming out later on this year. So I'm
not sure. Another Avengers game coming out?
Yeah, there's an Avengers game coming out this year.
Did that one ever get released?
Hasn't gotten released yet. It was delayed. It was supposed to come out
last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so that has nothing to do with this Spider-Man game.
Okay. That one
it's a totally different world.
That one doesn't look that great. So.
Yeah, I have to check it out anyway. I think I pre-ordered it, so I'll let you know. Side missions on Bleecker Street, so you're gonna have Doctor Strange in there too. So a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of cool nuggets here throwing out there for you gamer guys. So look for that. Spider-Man 2, it's 2021. No release date yet, but it's coming out next year for sure. And everything that I heard about it, it's basically taking the first one and trumping it up. So
check that out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always love watching. My time is so limited. I want to play games. Like I still have my old PS3. I still play games, but I just for me right now it's the other money's going to other places. All right, so what we got next is we have our Heroes Pull section. So let's go ahead and get into that. All right. So right now, my one, I only have two books. You've read them, but I figure we can kind of talk about them. And then if you have any other books, we can talk about. But we were talking about, not that long ago, you were talking about, you know, them coming back out with a new animated series for Batman. Actually, what it boiled down to was the creators of that are doing a new comic book run. So, yes, you have Paul Dini, you have Tim Bruce are back as the writers. I meant to look up the artist's name. I did not get a chance to, but it's even the same artist that did the animated series is doing this. Now, it's the same art style and everything. It's just not as dark. That's the one thing I will say. It doesn't have
that. No, yeah, no red skies.
I think that's really tough because it is a comic book. And it would be kind of tough, but it pretty much picks up. And you and I were talking about this, that it pretty much picks up right not long after the Lex and Joker meet up in the Injustice League, because they do make a reference of that. But it's a great book. It's a great run to read. It's a short one right now, but they have, that's one of the few books that has been consistently coming out from DC was this book. So there's two episodes they've been, or two issues. They did one last month or last week. And then the very next week they released another one out. So I don't know if we're going to have a third one coming out, cause they're doing it pretty quick. But it's really good. It was the first two was a short mini story and ends where they hint that of things to come. So I'm looking forward to the things to come. but the story itself, the short story, it's really good. And it does do some referencing back and forth to some of the older Justice League movies and some of the older Batman animated series. So I was really enjoyed it. It was a fun book to read. So check it out. It was, I think online for Comixology, I think it was like 84 cents an issue. I mean, it's like ridiculous cheap. Cheapest, I think it's cheaper comic books than when I was a kid.
way cheaper. 84 cents. Damn.
Yeah.
I'm paying like almost $2 now.
Check them out. They're your normal size comic books. They're nothing, just because they're cheap doesn't mean they're short. They're normal size, I think 24, 26 pages. So it's a fun read, especially if you're a fan.
Quick reads too. Very quick reads. Very
quick
fast,
and easy. Yeah. But if you're a fan of the animated series from the 90s, you know, big, if you're sweaties like us for that, then definitely check it out, because it's definitely some reminiscence.
Yeah.
And things that we always hoped would happen sort of happen, and we start getting hints of things. So I can't wait to see where they go.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil if you haven't read the first book yet, but there is a certain character that shows up, and they don't elaborate on it.
That certain character
at all.
At the end of the second one.
I haven't read the second one yet. I read the first one.
That's what I'm saying.
I just like the fact that they mention him.
They mention him, and you see a hint of that person later, like the last pages. So it's really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's probably this book is probably going to be about him then. I'm guessing.
He's still very young, so I don't know if it's about it. If it's going to be him just yet, because he's still like when you see him, he still look kind of young. Not as old as I would think him to be. But again, they could just be changing his age up too.
Which is fine. I mean, that's what's going to happen in the Titans, the TV series too. I mean, that's coming. I think we all know that's
coming. Yeah, that's coming. Yeah.
Just a matter of when. So yeah, definitely got to check issue number two out.
Very good. Anybody, do you have any other books?
Yeah, I got one. It's an oldie, but a goodie. And probably one of the most underrated Batman stories, because it was kind of sandwiched in between a couple. Like, we all know The Dark Knight Returns. We all know Death in the Family. We all know Under the Red Hood. Ton of Batman stories we can go into. Like, we could just sit here forever. But the one that I'm surprised we have not talked about is Nightfall, which is literally one of your favorites, which one of your favorite characters in there, which was the birth of Azrael in this film.
Now, did you just read the Nightfall, the Night End? Which one? Because there's,
I'm reading the beginning. It's Nightfalls. Night Beginning, Nightfalls, Night Ending. I think it's one of those. I think I'm starting from the beginning.
Okay.
Where basically, you know, all the criminals are broken out by Bane, basically to exhaust Batman and make him tired. And that's basically what happens, how Bane breaks his back. I'm at that point right now where they're trying to figure out what to do. You know, is Dick going to take over Batman? We don't know.
Yeah.
He's still incapacitated. You know, there's crime amok in the city of Gotham. Bane's going nuts. So we're right there right now. And then it's in the thick of it. And I am shocked, out of all the adaptations we've seen in the animated world, that we have yet to see this one. That's what kills me. Like, we've seen everything. We've seen Dark Knight Returns. We've seen Under the Red Hood, Death in the Family, all that stuff. Actually, we're getting Death in the Family this year.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah,
but we haven't seen this one yet.
I think the reason we haven't, because it doesn't, they won't do it specifically for that. They would probably do it more to where Nightwing takes over. And they kind of did it if you look at Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Like, in Bad Blood, he vanishes. Nightwing kicks in and takes over, and then you see that him and Damian going back and forth. I that's the only reason
why. Which was great. I love that. Yeah. I love that
dynamic. But I just don't know if that's the reason why they probably won't do it, because you'd have to explain who Azrael is. You'd have to explain, you know, a little bit more about who Bane. I mean, this would be on par with the death and the reign of Superman. And even there, they really brushed over a lot of things. So I don't know. I would love to see it. Don't get me wrong. I would be a fan of, you know, of seeing a real Azrael animated. But I just don't. I think the best we're going to do is get like that Bad
Blood. It's just strange that we have not seen him in any animated movie. I would think he's a guy that's just like, he's so ripe. I mean, either Virgin, Jean-Paul Valley, or the other guy.
He's very dark, though. That's the problem with the character. You think of the what this character is based off of, that he's based off of a secret cult that breeds perfect humans to be assassins and killing machines. And when you really delve into it, this child is born, not born, but he's inseminated into a woman. They take that out and put it into a gorilla. So he gets the strength, and then there's a lot of weird and twisted shit when it comes to Azrael. So I'm not surprised. The look, the style, I can definitely say I'm surprised we haven't seen it. We did see it in Gotham, which was kind of cool. I wasn't happy with the version it was, but I was happy to see it and to go, wow, okay, that looks just as badass as I thought it would live.
Oh, yeah, he was okay. Just like the way he was created.
It just wasn't Azrael. And, but I think that's probably why we're not. But like I said, I think the Bat Blood, I think, was the closest we're going to get to seeing that, because really the coolest part of that was for me was seeing Nightwing take over the mantle of Batman. And yes, his Robin was Tim Drake. So it wasn't as, you know, this argument back and forth and diversiveness between him and Robin. But with this one, you know, the Bat Blood, I think, was fun because it was Damian, and he just was him. And Nightwing and Damian's relationships are always great, especially that first time they ever meet. I think it was Batman and Son.
Yeah. Son of Batman or something. Yeah. It's great where they're fighting.
they're like, hey, did you leave something? And you see Nightwing all cut up, but Damian's all hogtied. Did you lose something over here? Hey, you know, who's bleeding? Who's getting stitches?
Oh, man.
Let's go again. I mean, they just were like, let's go again. It's great. It's what Bruce Wayne wants to say to his son, but he's like, oh, I'll just let the two boys, you know, argue about it.
Yeah, two brothers fighting. So,
Nightfall.
Just to the next level.
Yeah, the Nightfall, Night Rise. I know it was like three. It was broken up just like
three books. Yeah.
Three of them. And they're both pretty thick. My only issue with that is the inconsistency of the artists, because again, you and I always talked about this, or I've really talked about it. There are four books in the 90s that were telling this story. You had Batman, you had Detective, you had I'm trying to remember the other two books, but there were four books and there were different artists on each book. So you would get a knight, or you would get an Azrael who was buff, short haired. Then the next book you'd get one, he's in fit, but he's geeky. He's got longer hair and wearing glasses. You'd have this constant switch of style, because that story was not written by one person. I mean, writing wise, it was written by one person. Art wise, it was done by whoever was the artist on the book at the time. So it was just like the Superman one. Superman, some were on Action, some were on Superman, some were on Man of Tomorrow, some were on Man of Steel. So you had four books going at the same time for Superman. One came out every week of a month. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Batman. You know, Batman, you had Dark Knight, you had Detective, Batman, and then there was the other one. And then one more. And one was darker. One had Batman with a normal, you know, cowl, standard pointy ears. The other one had Batman with 2 feet long pointy ears. Another one was a little bit more cartoony.
There was a lot of inconsistencies in the art.
Which I'm fine with. I mean, I understand, because that's how the artist worked. It's not like now when they do a story, you want artist, one story out. I liked that it was a constant, you know, because it was a running story every week, and it was going to be the same guy that did the BS criminal one a month earlier.
Oh yeah,
it's you just have that consistency to them, and that's what I love, because there were certain Batman books I didn't buy because I didn't like that style, the artist, you know.
I agree. There's a lot of books I don't like art style that I'll put them like nah.
But when a massive story comes out like that, you go for it. You buy them all.
Yep. So that's Nightfall. Check it out, guys. If you've never read it, it's a really good story. You know, the breaking of the bat, I guess that was.
Yeah, the breaking of the bat, his rebuilding, Azrael going nuts. I mean, just to see the Azrael
Azrael bat suit is so cool.
Bat suit is just amazing. Ooh. Just the constant changing that he does to improve it. And then finally, when you do see him and Bruce finally have that moment of confrontation, that Bruce is finally like realizing, shit, I didn't give this to somebody I thought that really deserved
it. But one of the best moments comes from that book too, when he talks to Dick, and when Dick is pissed off and he's like, you know, how come I should have been the first time that, you know, if you were to ever, you know, pass the cowl, it should have been me. And then he has a great line, probably the best line in the book. And he's like, you know, you have to understand there are like different things between fathers and sons.
Yeah.
And I just broke. I was like, wow.
Well, Dick never won it. He even said it in that book. He goes,
I know.
I didn't want it, but you didn't give me the chance to say no.
I know. But just that line, like, they're just things between fathers and sons. And, like, that right there. I just, like, okay. That's it. Yeah. So, what you got, sir?
No, that was it. I just had the two Batman books. Yeah, I didn't have
I got one more.
I've been working on a secret little project here, so I've been spending a lot of time. Well, it's not that secret. I'm recording live for YouTube, and hopefully that'll be out. And so we're hopefully trying to get this every week now.
I got one more book, actually. One more. And it's actually an underrated book. And I can't believe I came up upon it, you know, with everything going on, you know, sometimes you just don't sleep. And I was at that point probably Wednesday night. I got home from work really early, couldn't sleep, nobody's awake. So I went to Comixology. And I was just looking for any kind of story to get me through the night. And I came upon a Spider-Man story called The Death of Gene DeWitt, or Gene DeWolf. And it's basically almost like a crime, like a whodunit thing. Very small arc. I think it's like 4 or 5 books that came out. And the whole premises of it, this cop who's infatuated with Spider-Man, basically has pictures of them all over her wall, is dead. Finds out she's dead. Who did it? We don't know. We find out that the people who were claimed to do it are being defended by a certain lawyer called Matt Murdock. So Daredevil's in this book too. Very crime noir, very whodunit. When you find out who did it, it's not who did it. It was somebody else who did it. I just dug the story, man. I thought the story was like, this reminded me of that Daredevil series on Netflix if you threw Spider-Man in there. I think it would fit so seamlessly. And just the writing, I mean, the art is good, but to me, the writing was really, really good. I was shocked how good it was. And like, it's basically like a whodunit in that world. Because, you know, Spider-Man is a very grounded superhero as far as like New York goes. His ties go to New York. But the interactions with Daredevil are really good. Matt basically finds out who Spider-Man is because, you know, he senses, okay, I know who this kid is, which was a really cool moment as well. You got the police department involved. And this character basically, who actually, I don't want to spoil who killed Mrs. DeWolf, but basically comes from a certain agency that he used to work for. So that agency is involved. I'll leave it at that. And you go forward and you find out who he is. And it's just, to me, it's like a whodunit thing. The Death of Gene DeWolf. Nice. It's a Spider-Man run. Yeah, it's really good. I think I got on the Spider-Man kick.
How long is it?
Let me see. I think it's, I got it right. It's October 85 to January 86. Not long.
Okay.
Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man, about 3 issues.
3 issues, okay.
But it's really good. It's like the writing. I think I got into Spider-Man because basically when you're telling me about that Spider-Man where Dr. Ock took over, I got influence. It's like, let me start reading some Spidey books, read some Marvel stuff, give them love. And I just fell in love with it. Just really good. Because I love crime stuff. That's my big thing. You introduced me to one of these TV shows I'm watching now, which is really good about crime. Basically, if you ever seen the American Gangster, it's like a prequel to that, which is really good. So this book is kind of along those wavelengths. So I love procedurals, crime, a whodunit thing. And you're just throwing 2 superheroes in it, trying to get them involved. One's a lawyer, the other one's a photographer. So you can't go wrong with it. It's 3 issues. You can get by it really fast. Comixology. It's the Death of Gene DeWolf. So just check it out, guys. Really, really solid writing too.
Very good. Very good. So, guys, that is it for us. We don't have much more. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I want to thank you guys for downloading, subscribing, also checking us out on Facebook. There is a new link. I've been working out some things, working on updating our website. But in the meantime, there is a new link called streamlinks.com/heroes_asylum. If you go to that page, you will actually see every single one of our links. That will cover Twitter, Facebook, our websites, links to not only our show here, but also to Midnight Movie Show. So that way, if you guys ever wondered how to get to that, just go see, listen to Kane's Baby.
So it is my baby. Midnight Movies, man. I think we're like 40 movies strong in there now.
Something like that. Yeah, we're doing really good on that one. But yeah, you guys just go to this streamlinks.com/heroes_asylum. And you will see all the links to everything and anything extra kind of comes our way is where we're going to send that to. Our website will probably be down for a week or so. I'm in the mix of updating some shit.
Ooh.
So, but good anything stuff. Else you got there, King?
Twitter. We're at Twitter at the Heroes Asylum podcast, and that's Heroes at Heroes Asylum underscore Asylum. Check it out. We actually changed it, so it makes sense now. Thank the captain for that. It was a little boo-boo on my part, but thank you very much, sir. Do appreciate that. Main area of contact, of course, is the Facebook page, which, guys, thanks for the – actually, like, you know, Captain Mike says it a lot, but I probably don't say it too often. Maybe it's because of my ego. I don't know. Maybe because I forget. But thank you for the likes and the shares. We really appreciate the community down there. A lot of guys who are always on there, always commenting. Jason Silver, I see your comments. You know, you make no sense, but it's okay. We still love you anyway. Good stuff from Jason. A lot of other people as well. We got some stuff going on this week. What They Say Monday. We had a good one there last week, by the way. Professor and Charles doing the chess thing. That was a really good one. Titan Tuesday. Of course, good stuff. Actually, Release of the Week is going to go away, so we're not doing Release of the Week. It's going to be Throwback Thursday for movie or arc. We haven't done movie yet. We're doing, like, comic book runs. So we did Days of Future Past last week, which is, if you guys have not read the original Days of Future Past, it's really good. Very different from the movie, by the way, so check that out. Friday Night Fights. Good stuff from Friday Night Fights. Who was last week on Friday Night Fights? I always have it written down. I think you chose Friday Night Fights. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Sci-Fi Saturday, we had a good one. They Live. They Live! Yeah. Finally, the captain came up with a good one. And the one that I totally forgot about, They Live, Roddy Piper, and Mr. Keith David, the guy with two first names. Really good flick. That's a John Carpenter film, by the way.
Yes, it is. Very good, John. Yeah, very good. But guys, if you guys want to check these out, get on our Facebook page. We send these out every day. So check them out. There is something special on Wednesdays I'm going to start doing just until we can start getting our polls out. But yeah, this is stuff to keep our mind going throughout the week. And when we get bored or when, you know, we're done staring at the wall for the 100th time.
Yeah, God knows.
So but hopefully, guys, we will see you next week. I hope you guys have a great week. And everybody stay safe and healthy. And Kane?
Get to the asylum!